Much has changed since the last Mortal Kombat TV show. Dark forces of boredom have begun invading the Earth realm. These attacks are seriously weakening Earth's dimensional fabric, enabling not only cartoons to enter the podcast, but characters from other old shows as well. Only the most extraordinary podcasters could possibly meet this challenge. Corey, Neil, driven by purpose and bound by honor, these are the defenders of the cats.
MK Podcast.
Did you clap?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I couldn't hear it.
It'd be like, fucking some truly twisted shit if I did not clap.
It's 8 minutes from we start talking, and then 8 minutes from now I just hear.
That'd be really good. New show.
Oh man, it's exciting! It's exciting, Corey.
It was exciting.
I'm hyped. I'm sitting here.
I was hyped.
I got my Uppercut Editions T-shirt on at Encyclopedia MK on Twitter. Go check them out. Free plug.
Wasting no time getting to free plug because this episode of television that we watched is only 19 minutes long.
There's a jam-packed 19 minutes, though. How did you feel when those opening credits came up and you saw Sean Catherine Derrick's name?
That was, you know, I have mixed feelings, but like generally positive. So it was like, okay, you know, I want to believe that we've got something going on here. Frankly, I was still sort of reeling from how quickly the intro ends.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
It goes from the end of Raiden's like spiel right into the name of the show so quickly. Like,
yeah,
there's
man.
No cut or time to breathe or anything. It's like,
I'm not fucking around on this cartoon show.
Driven by purpose and bound by honor, these are the defenders of the realm. It's like so fucking fast.
Hell yeah.
So, Neil,
Corey,
do you want to lay out in terms of like logistics for the folks at home who might not know, what is Mortal Kombat Defenders of the Realm? How long is it? What medium is it? What are we doing with it?
Well, first, I just want to congratulate you and me for somehow managing, I think, 8 weeks of content off of 3 movies.
Look, well, in our defense, there was 2 books in there.
Sure, yeah. Plus the new movie.
Yeah.
There was some other stuff in there, but still.
We made it work.
I just want to say it feels good to be back to Mortal Kombat television series. I'll go ahead and say it now. The second best Mortal Kombat television series there is behind Mortal Kombat Conquest.
Right. And is there a third, just for clarity's sake?
In my opinion, no. There is a web series.
Okay, great. So it's also last.
There is a web series, but I'll also say that I probably do prefer Defenders of the Realm over Mortal Kombat Legacy.
I've never seen Legacy, so I cannot comment on that.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do that in 6 years.
It's a dark and gritty reimagining.
It's truly the Mortal Kombat X of potential television shows.
Unlike this show, Mortal Kombat Defenders of the Realm, the 1996 cartoon series, both a sequel to the Mortal Kombat 95 movie and kind of a more direct adaptation inspired by Mortal Kombat 3, 13 episodes of just G-rated cartoon antics based on a PG-13 movie based on a mature-rated video game. So we're really, really just watering shit down like crazy at this point.
Yeah, 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 yep. We sure are. This is like, this is what happens if somebody were to attempt to make gasoline drinkable. You just keep diluting it over and over and over again in the hopes that you can drink it, and you can't. You simply cannot.
It's not your dad's Mortal Kombat. This is Mortal Kombat Babies.
That implies the existence of like Muppet Kombat.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's a show where the gang of Earthrealm warriors fly around in jet planes and beat up cyber ninjas and shit.
You ever see a mid to late 90s cartoon?
Hell yeah.
It's one of those.
And honestly, it's a good time. I don't know. You didn't seem like it doesn't sound like you liked it too much, Corey. Not so far anyway. Can you at least admit that this is just
the second best Mortal Kombat television series? I guess I have to.
Would you say this is better than Mortal Kombat The Journey Begins?
I can't judge it yet because I haven't seen it all. If you're asking me based purely on the first episode, a yes. genuine conversation would have to be had. I don't know.
Are you fucking kidding me? A genuine conversation would have to be had.
No, I'm not kidding you, and I will explain why.
All right. I just want to do that like in like as we talk about this episode, or do you want
to Yeah,
like,
I don't want to get too upfront. I don't we still haven't totally have we explained it enough? I thought you were going to maybe explain more, but if you're not, then I can talk about it, sure.
I think I'm good to like I think, you know, we did some explanation last week on the podcast. It's a Mortal Kombat cartoon series in the 90s with
in the same production universe, by way I mean Lawrence Kasdanoff is here.
Yeah, and I've already got a big theory boys for us. Fuck. But I don't know that I don't know that now is the time for it. Do you want to do
it's
that
not,
now?
But I thought we were going to do like, are we Neil Nooking, Corey Cornering?
We're absolutely Neil Nooking and Corey Cornering.
I was expecting some of these things. Some yes. of the timeless classics fans have come to know and love.
Sure, yeah. Wouldn't be a MK PodQuest episode without a Neil Nook and a Corey Corner.
No, it's like trying to drive a car without wheels.
Yeah, just
it's got tires, but it don't got wheels.
Any kind of wheel, steering wheel, anything.
So this episode has a name. I already yes. forget what it is.
Mortal Kombat Defenders of the Realm.
Oh, is episode, it like Combat Continues or something?
Episode 1, Combat Begins Again.
Whatever. That was close.
A lot of beginnings on this in this universe.
You can never have too many.
Sometimes your journey begins, sometimes combat begins, sometimes combat begins again.
Yeah, sometimes combat continues, or whatever the fuck Raiden says at the end, or like, it's combat here.
Sometimes Shang Tsung stands on a boat and says it has begun, right after Raiden stands on a boat and says it has begun.
Sometimes somebody tells you it's combat time.
Combat time. Sometimes they say it twice within 30 seconds.
Sometimes they say it a third time a few minutes later. Sometimes. They might do that sometimes. So what are we thinking? What's the logical progression of do we tell people the plot? Do we tell people the production angles? What do we want to do?
I think we're going to go to our what became our standard format. And I think we'll jump right into a Corey Corner. Then we'll hop over to my little nook over here.
If that's the case, why don't you get over here?
Whoop.
Welcome to the Corey Corner.
That was fast, like how the intro was fast. I was just getting it over with.
So, we have Liu Kang, Katana, Sonya, Jax, Nightwolf, maybe somebody else, Raiden.
Are you purposely leaving Striker out?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course I am. We have the fucking cop for some reason, and he sucks so bad. Oh my god, this show hates cops so much with the way they wrote Striker. It's kind of incredible.
He's such a doof.
And they have a 90s cartoon headquarters, and they are like a team of... They're basically a fucking team of superheroes at this point. Yeah.
Some would call them defenders, perhaps, of Earthrealm.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Neil. And they've got big dragon-shaped jets, and Nightwolf is their computer whiz. And we learn that Earth's dimensional fabric is being weakened.
Yeah, it is.
Through invasions, and it's letting more people invade from all sorts of other realms. And this first encounter that they have is actually... There's like two invasions in this first 20-minute episode. It's truly fucking chaos. There is an invasion of cybers.
Yeah.
Which are just Sektor, Cyrax, and the boys. And there is an invasion of nomads, which are Tarkatans. And they have a leader. And I know what you're thinking. I bet I know this leader's name. And what if I told you, you don't know this leader's name? Because it's not Baraka. It is Carbrack. Which is very much reminding me of it's got big Cabral energy.
It's
behind Carbrack.
It's Baraka and Cabral's love child.
And the whole episode they spend giving really, really obvious exposition because it's for children and babies, and the show doesn't think anybody could figure this out organically. And Sub-Zero shows up, and we discover he's a good guy, and they have to fight back some invaders because, as Sub-Zero warns, Scorpion is coming. Can I do an unconventional thing as we start a new television show?
Yes.
We're meeting a bunch of new iterations of these characters for the first time. I'd like to give them each a vibe check.
Sure, yeah, let's do that.
So let's start with our main guy. And Neil, I'm going to put this to you first. Just compare. So we got Liu Kang.
Sure.
What's his vibe check compared to movie Liu Kang?
I don't know. He's kind of lost some of his cool American style.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
He's a Absolutely. Little more...
he's still kind of like joking around, but he's the, I don't know what you would call him.
He
like,
still has fear, and people are still telling him that's bad.
Sure. He still doesn't really believe in himself. No. You know?
Anxious, lacking confidence, Liu Kang.
Sure. Totally.
Katana. I'm going to take this one.
Can we contextualize, like, can we find what the, like, I don't know, like the Chippendales Rescue Rangers analogs would be?
Nope. You can. I can't.
I don't think I can either.
I've never...
Stryker's a real gadget. You know what I'm saying?
No, because isn't Gadget the one that everybody does the cartoon porn of?
Okay, so Katana's a real gadget then. Gotcha.
That was not entirely a rhetorical question. But whatever. We'll figure it out. God, I wish I hadn't said that, but we're here.
Staying in.
We're moving. Katana sucks in this. Katana sucks.
What?
What?
I didn't read that at all.
I mean, I just personally didn't enjoy it. She is the most like robotically presented, focused on just like honor and fucking soul and nobility. And it's like they've cranked that dial so high.
She's royalty, man. Okay, so what we got
this
here is...
Yeah, but like think of the other katanas we've seen up to this point.
Right, but this is a katana that's been through some shit at this point. Okay.
All of the katanas have been through some shit. She's like 10,000 years old.
Right. I think the comparison here is we got... This is the Breakfast Club, right?
Ooh.
Liu Kang is Emilio Estevez 100%.
Oh my God. Right. This is horrible.
100%. No, I'm sorry. It's... It's true. And then Katana is Claire, right? Molly Ringwald.
That's Molly Ringwald's slander, and we both know it.
Sonia is the basket case, right?
That's Ali Sheedy's slander, and we both know it.
Stryker's the principal.
Again, disrespectful to the principal from the Breakfast Club.
Jax is
the jock part of Emilio Estevez.
Jax is part of Emilio Estevez, yeah.
Emilio Estevez, there are two people inside you. One of them is a monk, right. One of them has robotic arms.
Who's Bender? Raiden is Bender.
Yeah, and I guess that means Nightwolf is
Brian,
sunglasses. Michael Hall.
Nightwolf is Brian because he's a total fucking dork.
No, Nightwolf is actually sick as hell. Are you kidding?
No, I know, but he's like the computer geek.
Okay, sure. So, really quick, so that's a bit of a vibe check, but I have a couple more things I want to point out. Jax, the funny man. Jax is the funny man.
Jax is also part Brian, then, and part Bender.
Stryker is not even just like... He's like, it's like, we're not just going to make fun of Stryker because he's a cop. Like, we are. We are.
This episode makes fun of Stryker.
Yeah, but it's so much worse than that. Like, he's not just a cop. Like, he's like a shitty, annoying dad who doesn't know how to adequately actually lead people. So he just says stuff loudly and hopes people do it.
100%.
He sucks so bad. Somebody's got to secure the perimeter, and we got to stop. This ain't no time for jokes, and we got to close the portal, and nobody's listening to me, and I can't believe Sony's not... She just ran out there. Fucking shut up, Stryker. Fuck off.
Doesn't he say some shit to Jax, too, where he's like, heads up, soldier? And Jax is like, yeah. I'm not your soldier. You're not a soldier. You're a cop. I'm a soldier.
Sonya's vibe check is chaos. She's all over the fucking place in a fun way because they're very weirdly transparent with like, oh, she's like struggling emotionally right now.
Yeah.
And she's taking it out by yelling combat time.
She clearly learned nothing about working with others from no. Mortal Kombat 95.
Not a she's single goddamn thing.
Back to her old ways.
Raiden.
She's still mad about Johnny being dead.
Yeah, she's mad about Johnny being dead and her other partners being dead. Whoever got killed by Crimmins. is this the shittiest Raiden yet? Raiden, and by shitty, I don't mean bad. I want to quantify this.
He's just absolutely sick of this shit.
Yeah,
threatened to kill one of them.
Yes. Yeah, Raiden could not give less of a fuck at all. Like, this is the least Raiden has ever cared. And his eyes won't stop flashing with lightning.
Raiden has the desperation of someone who he knows they've already lost, right?
Yeah, he's like, oh, they're constantly invading Earth all the time.
I got six people under me to stop this shit from happening. We're doing a horrible job. Reality is collapsing around us, and like I gotta act like I care. Like I wish I was back in Zhuzhen at Applebee's getting drunk with a babe. Like that's what he wants. But there's no more Applebee's.
No, yeah. All the Applebee's got destroyed in the cyber war. Oh my god, I just looked up the canonical spelling of Carbrack and it's funnier than I possibly could have imagined.
Yeah, spell it.
K-A-R-B-R-A-C.
Yeah, it is.
Because of course it is. And Nightwolf's cool. I like Nightwolf quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, it's kind of wild how he has to, he's got his dog, Kiva. We haven't talked about Kiva much, his wolf, right?
Kiva's a dog, so the vibe check is dog.
Right, but Kiva has to, like...
Oh, and we didn't talk about Sub-Zero, whose vibe check is weird dude.
Weird dude with a weird face. Okay.
And a weird voice, R.I.P. Luke Perry.
Let's talk about some of these people. You want to hop over to the Neil Nook?
I'd love that.
All right, so get over here.
Welcome to the Neil Nook.
It's Gucci.
Okay, it's been a minute.
You gotta listen to that in stereo, baby.
Little rusty here. All right, so I'm not going to go through all of our main cast. I'm just going to go through, I got three of them here. But
why is that?
Because we're going to do the rest of them on the next episode.
We got to spread the wealth.
So we're going to run out of Neil Nooks quickly, and we're talking voice actors primarily, so there's a lot of credits. Don't worry, I'm not going through all of them. I know you get freaked out about that.
Nah, I wouldn't have minded at all because there's like fucking six dudes.
All right, so this episode, directed by Michael G-O-G-U-E-N, Michael Gogan. He directs works in animation a lot. He directed episodes of Men in Black, the series.
Did everything got a fucking cartoon, huh?
Oh yeah, no kidding. This guy didn't work on this, but there was a time where there was a Mask cartoon, an Ace Ventura cartoon, and a Dumb and Dumber cartoon all on at the same time.
That sucks so bad.
Three Jim Carrey movies turned into cartoons all on TV at the same time.
Who wanted a cartoon about The Mask?
Well, that was a comic book series before it was a movie.
That doesn't answer my question.
My guess would be people who are fans of The Mask.
Yeah, all those children who love reading the comic books about The Mask.
Sure.
And his fucking sexual hijinks or whatever that man does. That man seems gross to me. I think he's up to no good.
I think you're right about that, but we're not going to talk about The Mask. We're going to save that. Maybe we'll do a bonus episode.
I don't think we should do that.
All right, this episode was directed by Michael Gogan. He directed some Men in Black, the series episodes. Speaking of everyone having a cartoon show, Jackie Chan Adventures.
Heard of it.
Spectacular Spider-Man, Batman the Brave and the Bold, and a whole bunch of Scooby-Doo shit. He also did character designs for a few episodes of Batman the Animated Series, and Captain N the Game Master.
Oh, fuck yeah, he did, bud. In this house, we love and respect Captain N, the Game Master.
And Barbie, Dolphin Magic.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. In this house, we love and respect Barbie, Dolphin Magic.
He's also a storyboard artist on Batman the Animated Series. And, you know, I think it's going to be rare that we ever get any crossovers with our old favorites, you know, our Baywatches and our Pacific Blues and our Silk Stockings and the like.
Did we ever get a Silk Stockings cartoon? Because then maybe we'd get a few more.
Well, I think I got a line on something we can track to see if we get any crossover connections to this Michael Goggin was also a storyboard artist for Stan Lee's Stripperella.
I'm sorry, what?
You don't know what Stan Lee's Stripperella series was?
Stan Lee's
Stripperella.
I didn't spell it right, or Google doesn't want to tell me what it is? Oh. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Pamela Anderson provides the voice of Erotica Jones, who is a stripper by night and a superhero Stripperella by even later at night.
Starring Kid Rock and Vince McMahon? Am I reading? Doth mine eyes deceive me?
I mean, they were in some episodes. They were not stars of it. No. Cast is Pamela Anderson, Tom Kenny, Maurice LaMarche.
SpongeBob.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's a lot of things.
He's SpongeBob. So, John Cryer.
Mark Hamill did two episodes.
Molly Ringwald connection strikes again. Spike TV was up to, oh no, I just scrolled down to the names of the titles of the episodes, and the very first one is not good. Oh my God.
Beauty and the Obese Part 1.
The Evil Magicians. There's just one called The Evil Magicians. I don't know anything about this.
Sure.
But I really need to say that the vibe check on this, one of the worst I've felt in a long time. Why does it look like a fucking Flash cartoon?
I mean, that was the style at the time, you know. It probably was a Flash cartoon. Anyway, I just want to keep
TV
an eye.
Was on so much shit. What the fuck were they doing over there?
I just want to keep an eye on Stripperella.
The only good thing to come out of Spike TV was MXC, which in hindsight is extremely racist.
I
watched it when I was a kid, but I've watched it again recently, Neil, and holy fuck, they were getting away with some shit.
Yeah.
Holy shit, Neil. It's unfathomable that was on television.
I remember.
I'd watch that shit with my dad, and we were just like, oh, MXC, what a good time. We should have just been watching fucking Takeshi's Castle with subtitles.
You should have been watching, sounds like you should have been watching Stripperella.
I don't agree.
All right.
Anyway, sorry, that was a long tangent.
Our writer for this episode is Sean Catherine Derrick. I think we need to give a little refresher course. Obviously, Sean Catherine Derrick wrote quite a few episodes of Mortal Kombat Conquest. She also wrote on The Smurfs, Batman the Animated Series, Captain Planet and the Planeteers, and like a bunch of Lego Bionicle shit.
Okay. Shout out to Bionicles. Sorry.
You're right?
I couldn't answer right away because of shit. My body was up to some shit. But shout out to Bionicles. Sorry.
She was also the executive story editor on Pac-Man and the Ghostly Adventures in 2013.
What is that? Every time you do a Neil Nook, you say some shit that sounds like you completely made it up.
Like, it's just some like...
It's a like Netflix? No, it's not a Netflix show. It's just on Netflix. I misinterpreted that sentence.
Just like a Pac-Man animated, like CG animated series.
I don't like how that looks.
Yeah, Pac-Man looks weird when they when they give him depth.
When they give him depth. It's like Pac-Man 2, The New Adventures, where he had a son or something.
When they give him dimension, it's weird. She's also the story editor on Biker Mice from Mars.
Oh, I've heard of that.
And, I already said that. Never mind. I was going to say Planet and the Planeteers, but I already covered that. All right.
And Mortal Kombat Conquest.
Yeah, that's what I led with.
Yeah, and you should end with it.
Let's talk about, I'm going to cover Raiden, Sub-Zero, and Kitana this episode. So let's start with our boy Raiden. This is for us.
Fuck yeah.
Raiden number 4, I think. Yeah, Raiden number 4. Raiden number 5, because the journey begins. Raiden is voiced by Clancy Brown. Now.
Fuck yeah, he is. Clancy Brown, recurring character on They Made Another One.
You know Clancy Brown.
Well, I know him well.
Captain Hadley in The Shawshank Redemption. Sergeant Zim in Starship Troopers. voice of Lex Luthor in the Superman animated series and the Justice League animated series.
The antagonist from Pet Sematary 2.
Yes, that's on the list in case for you. That was on the list for you.
The cowboy guy from I'm blanking on the name of that movie now. We did. Shit. I'll think of it.
Was it Revenge of the Nerds 3, The Next Generation? Because he's in that.
No, it was, fuck.
Look, it's going to be hard to find, because dude has 297
acting
credits.
No, it's not
going
to be hard to find. It's not going to be hard to find. It's not. Just give me a second. Give me 1 second. Hold on. Just give me a sec. Just nobody go anywhere. The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai.
Yes. Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai in the Eighth Dimension. Yes, he is in that. He was also...
SpongeBob.
Yeah, he's Mr. Krabs on SpongeBob SquarePants, co-starring Tom Kenny of Stripperella.
Finally.
Boom, we got there.
And it all comes full circle, baby.
He did voices in the Jack and Daxter games. He's in the new Invincible animated adaptation on Prime. He's in everything. He's got 297 acting credits, like live action and voice acting. He was on like the CW Flash series for a few episodes. Like, you've seen him. You know him, you love him. Clancy Brown as Raiden. All right. Now, let's talk about our boy, Sub-Zero, played by Luke Perry. Rest in peace, Luke Perry. We lost him in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Famous as Dylan McKay in Beverly Hills 90210. A lot of people may know him as Fred Andrews in Riverdale.
Mm.
He was also in John from Cincinnati. He voiced Ponce de Leon in Clone High.
Fuck yeah, he did.
And he voiced.
Dude, Clone High is so fucking good.
He voiced
what?
Napoleon Brie in Biker Mice from Mars.
I didn't realize how much voice work Luke Perry was doing.
There's a lot of Biker Mice from Mars connections also. That's another thing we should track. And he was Pike in the Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie. And here's one for you, Corey.
Yeah, the Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie. Shit.
Well, that came first.
Yeah, we've decided it's on the list.
All right. Well, here's another one for you, Corey. The Sandlot, Heading Home.
What the fuck is that?
No idea. I didn't even click on it. I just assume it's like
a made-for-TV
Sandlot.
You know what? I'm not
going to
click on it either.
Sandlot sequel. Anyway, yeah, Luke Perry, good actor. I really like him.
And, yeah, I haven't seen him in very much, but every time I see him, I'm like, fuck yeah, dude.
It's fucking wild. Wild to learn he was Sub-Zero's voice in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, did not recognize him at all. Maybe not the best use of his talents?
Not the wildest casting choice on the show either, but we're going to save that for next time. Let's talk about Princess Kitana, voiced by Cree Summer, who is in just absolutely fucking everything. 335 acting credits on IMDb for
Holy
Cree Summer.
Holy shit.
Here's a few. I'm going to name a few. All right. I couldn't go through this whole list. I probably missed. For all I know, she like was on Pacific Blue and I missed it because there's a lot to go through. She was Penny in Inspector Gadget. She did voices on The Care Bears, The Garbage Pail Kids. She was Dulcie the Dragon in the Sonic the Hedgehog cartoon. Susie Carmichael on
Rugrats.
Is it
the good one or the bad one? We have to go over this again.
The good one. The one with Dulcie the Dragon in it.
By that one, do you mean the one that doesn't have the chicken robot?
Yes, the one that doesn't have the chicken robot. It's okay. The exact same conversation as last time.
No, I know it is. I know it is.
And that's assuming you're talking about Scratch as opposed to Cluck.
I am. So it means
continue.
That you actually, you meant to say the bad one, but I'll let it slide.
Wait, no, the bad one's the one with the chicken robot.
No, that's the good one.
We're not going to do this again.
For the record, just really quick, she is not on an episode of Pacific Blue. I can confirm.
Okay, she is Susie Carmichael on Rugrats. She is Chloe in the Sabrina the Teenage Witch animated series. She is Max from Batman Beyond. She did do voices in Young Justice, Spectacular Spider-Man, and a whole bunch of Star Wars stuff. If you've watched a cartoon, Cree Summer did a voice in it. Pretty much that simple.
Did you play Tony Hawk's American Wasteland? You've heard Cree Summer before.
Everyone's heard Cree Summer. She's everywhere. She's everywhere because she's really good. And what's interesting is, like, you know, I think she's known for doing a specific type of voice, like Susie Carmichael on Rugrats. But here she is in Mortal Kombat Defenders of the Realm, and she's showing her range in this role. That's it for the Neil Nook for this week. We're going to talk about more of our main cast next week. We're already half an hour in. We've already gone longer than this episode has gone.
Oh, well longer. Well beyond.
We haven't even... started talking about it yet.
Here's the thing. There's not a ton to really get into.
Let's just get right into it. Kind of fucked up, honestly.
Yeah, the show, I agree. Yeah.
That they just stick Nightwolf in the cave. All right, couple locations we need to establish, all right?
Cave.
Combat cave.
Not to be confused with the cave with Kenny Beats. They're two very different caves.
Combat cave.
Somebody
right?
doesn't watch The Cave.
What do we call our gang of heroes? My vote is Sonya and the boys.
Well, that's sort of a diminishing returns for Katana.
I think we keep running with Sonya and the boys. Well, so they split up sometimes, so sometimes it'll be Katana and the boys.
Can we just say SK and the boys?
SK and the boys.
Yeah, Sonya, Katana, and the boys.
I don't know. Sonya and the boys just has a nice ring to it to me still.
We'll use competing versions and one of them will win, much like Mortal Kombat.
We'll call it The Gang.
No, that's...
This ain't the crew.
Nah, the gang's boring, though.
This is like a paramilitary organization at this
terrorists.
Point.
Terrorists. We'll call them terrorists.
So the terrorists are out somewhere.
So the guerrillas are...
Nightwolf's at home, and he's fighting rough with his dog, and we're supposed to be like led to believe that
the intro
Kiva,
establishes
the wolf,
that it's his dog, and then they try to make it seem like the dog's going to kill him.
Yeah, like sneaking up on him at his computer, and then they like wrestle for a little while, and then he gets the combat alert, and he's like, oh shit, there's a rift somewhere. So then we throw to Sonya and the boys in the field, talking with Nightwolf about how... there's some kind of attack being led by cybers, so probably Sector and Cyrax, and there's 22 cybers coming through a dimensional portal.
Yeah.
And the gang's got to fight them.
Combat alert! A new rift in Earth's dimensional fabric!
Combat time, right?
Combat time!
Striker's out there being a fucking dork. He's
Sonya,
like, you know,
out there fucking saying ACAB because she hates Striker so bad.
Yeah.
Holy shit, this... she hates him.
So the crew's out on a... God damn it, I said the crew. Whatever. We're going to fly with it.
So Sonya and the boys.
The gang's out in this like the Earth is like a wasteland, right?
There's Sonya and the crew gang, boys.
There's like a wrecked up like barge and shit like that out here.
It's straight up the apocalypse.
It really is.
Like, Earth failed so bad.
And like, yet Stryker says, Stryker says, we've been able to keep civilians from learning about these outworld invasions.
What is he fucking talking about?
How fucking stupid are the civilians in this world? Like,
well, they didn't see 22 cybers come through that portal.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, and he's like, oh, we need a plan. We need a plan, right? We need a strategic plan of attack. And he's like, shape up, soldier. And Jax is like,
everybody,
I'm not your soldier, cop. And then Sonya's like,
slow down and keep
time.
It simple. And then Sonya just says, okay, now we have to delve into this a little bit more. The okay. pacing of that conversation where they're setting up what's happening and like want to make a plan or whatever is like exceptionally bad.
It is.
It sounds like all the dialogue is coming from separate conversations. And they just sort of got stitched together, and it moves really fast, and it's just a mess.
It's kind of a mess, yeah.
It's not good. It's the pacing is like really quick conversations that are a lot of exposition, and then just extended fight sequences. And it moves at such a brisk pace that it's very difficult to track what's happening when it's written in a way that's all over the place. Never mind when your villain shows up and you can't understand what he's fucking saying.
Yeah, that was rough.
Oh my god. Sector's talking like his fucking mouth's full of golf balls.
Right.
Like, fuck. You're a robot!
But, yeah, Stryker's plan is let's make a plan, and Sonya's plan is combat time, and she runs off. And then Jax is like...
We gotta make a drop out of combat time.
What
so
are you gonna do?
So every time somebody says combat time, it's Sonya saying combat time.
Our friends over at the Combat Time podcast use that in their intro already.
Well, we can't beat them.
Steal. Can't beat them, steal from them.
It's
got
not
it. Okay.
Theft. We are all stealing. Yeah.
But
fuck.
Yeah. It,
and then they just fight for a while.
I just love Jax's attitude. He's like, oh, that white girl's going to get me in trouble. And then he just runs off behind her anyway. And everybody does except Kitana. Kitana stays behind because she's Kitana, not stupid, right?
Yeah, well...
Except that she then gets ambushed by fucking... Sector.
Kitana sucks.
I disagree with you. I don't know, man.
I didn't enjoy it. It's too much of that.
Of her just, like, being, like, the...
Yes. Fuck. Yeah. We know what you mean.
No, I had a comparison and I can't think of the name. Like the detective from Gargoyles. Which also a lot of people on the show worked on.
I've never seen Gargoyles, so.
Okay.
Sure?
Don't worry about it. I couldn't pull the name, and now if I look it up, it's going to be a lot of editing.
They've turned that regal dial up so high that I find it very annoying. Even in the little window of time in which we are dealing with Kitana in this episode. I'm going to tell you this 40 minutes into this podcast.
Okay.
This might be a difficult show for me to sit through. I found it very annoying.
Like, I'm going to say.
Some of it's so funny because it's so fucking just out there twisted bullshit, but like,
right.
It's really annoying.
This is not Conquest, that's for sure.
Yeah, this is your grandma's Mortal Kombat.
Give it a few episodes, especially because this one is the only one that like leads with like a cliffhanger leading into another episode. This was much like, you know, our Conquest pilot, really trying to set up the dynamic and everything.
Oh, they have.
And they did it for kids too. Like I don't necessarily have faith that they get away from that. Like I feel like there will probably be they're going to have to do that on every single episode to some degree, just because this was like a syndicated cartoon show, right? But maybe it's not going to be as bad in future episodes.
Yeah, I mean, I hope you're right. And I just want to say that, and I know you might not have meant anything specific by this, but what I want to say is that it being made for kids will not give it a free pass if we're going to do a podcast about it.
Oh, no, I'm not giving it a free pass.
No,
either.
I understand. Yeah. But it's like, because like, if I'm annoyed, I'm just going to be annoyed the whole time.
My conclusion from watching Defenders of the Realm will be that everyone should go back and watch Mortal Kombat Conquest.
Oh, related to your Breakfast Club analogy from earlier.
Sure. Which one's the janitor?
Oh, no, it's not that specific. I was going to say, much like that, we have Breakfast Club for old people, which is when somebody says the phrase, the big chill, when Sub-Zero shows up.
Right. So we got
I can
Kitana.
Say that because I own two different copies of that movie.
We got to talk real quick, though. I just have to point out when, like, first, I love all the special moves we're seeing, right? We're seeing power rings and leg flips and shockwaves and dragon kicks and fan lifts and all that kind of shit.
And Sub-Zero doing his best fucking Frozone.
But when Kitana's facing off against Sector and Sector's like, we outnumber you 5-1 or whatever the number is, and she's fighting, and then Liu Kang comes over and like helps fuck up Sector and the other cybers, and then they got this like they have Kitana and Liu Kang like face to face, and they cut this music cue.
It's oh my god, Neil, like, I'm so glad you said this, Neil.
Yeah.
I've never been happier about anything in my life than you pointing this out. The music doesn't even like fade together or anything. It just cuts really harshly to different music. They have this moment where they give each other fucking love me emotionally eyes.
Someone took
it can't be fuck me eyes. This is for kids.
And no. No. That's my point is someone took the time to draw fuck me eyes into this children's cartoon.
But we can't call it that because it's PG. But the music is it's insane. It's one of the craziest things I've ever heard. Because it goes from like
nuts.
Hardcore action music to like romance fuck music and then back to the fight music with
boom.
So little in between. Truly incredible scenes. Biblical scenes.
The magic of Jonathan Sloat's score.
God, somebody said that made a fucking metal.
Anyway, so after that, like the gang is like on the ropes because like turns out they were outnumbered like 21.
Actually, can I make a point here? I counted, because they said there were 22 cybers.
Sure.
And I counted when they do that wide shot and they show all the dead cybers.
Yeah.
I believe there was actually 21 plus sectors, so I think they actually did 22 cybers.
Okay, first of all, that might be hampering your enjoyment of this series. No,
I just thought that would be funny. Hold on. That's a funny bit. Don't take it this away from me.
I'm not. Did you actually count?
Yes. I might have counted it wrong. I only counted it once. I might have doubled up or singled it up. I counted.
All right, well, we got to give them credit for attention to detail.
Then. Yeah, but then we have to take that attention to detail away instantly, because when Liu Kang starts fighting a cyber, he like does a cool kick on one or something, and that robot just sort of backs up, and instead of following up and killing that robot, a new robot walks in front of that robot, and Liu Kang kills that robot instead, and then just nothing happens with the initial robot at all.
Yeah. Yeah, the fight scenes in this are kind of hard to... Kind of hard to track.
And then all the writing is like the most, I'm going to punch you in the face with what this sentence means in the world. And again, I still feel very uncomfortable to a degree about how they really just want to be like, man, Sonya's emotionally damaged. What a crazy woman. Am I right?
Don't worry. I think she learns an important lesson about teamwork in a few episodes. But
Jesus Christ. From Cyrex, no, I'm trying to say Stryker, but my body simply won't let me. From Stryker, her terrible boss.
But there's one kind of cool thing about this fight in particular. I don't even know that cool is the right word. I mean, the cool part is when Sub-Zero shows up, right? Because they're fighting robots. God damn it.
There's no blood anywhere.
No, but they can, like, rip heads off and shit like that, which is not something we could get in any other Mortal Kombat TV show or movie.
Yeah, they should rip one of those Nomad's 21. Heads clean off.
But it was kind of, like, rad to see them, like, actually fuck up, like, fuck these robots up. And we are going to get to see some fatalities in this, too. Like, actually, we see one in this episode, technically.
Do we?
We're going to see there's going to be a couple that are off screens. Yeah. Yeah, we're about to get to that, right? Because as the gang is feeling that they're super outnumbered, suddenly... Sub-Zero swoops in like Iceman from the X-Men and starts freezing up motherfuckers.
I called him Frozone, but yeah. Same vibe.
And then what is it? Hold on. Fucking Sonya Blade. When the whole crew are hiding out behind that big anchor and
yep. How could I forget that iconic set piece?
So Sub-Zero shows up and Sonya calls him a sleazoid.
She does. My note is literally just the word sleazoid.
And then she's like, why should we trust this guy? He's a traitor to his own clan. Like,
why is my follow-up note to this, Jax should marry Sub-Zero? What did he say?
Because he was like, he's like, I don't know, he's fighting on our side now, so like I trust him. I don't exactly know why but I agree. I agree with the point, but
this Sub-Zero talks.
She's just mad. Like, she's like, well, because you're fighting Sonya. You're fighting his clan. You're fighting the Cyber Lin Kuei, and he is a traitor to them and fighting on your side. Why is he a sleazoid? And why are you saying you can't trust him because he's a traitor to his clan?
I think she
doesn't make any fucking sense.
I don't know. Did OG Sub-Zero traitor somebody? Is she thinking about that one?
But they know it's not OG Sub-Zero, and this ties into my Big Theory Boys segment.
They get told it later by him.
They seem to already know that it's not him.
Some of them do. I don't think everybody seemed that way. Because then why would he explain it?
Because the events of Mortal Kombat Annihilation have already happened. This is what I'm going to get back to.
And then they recreate a scene from the movie.
Yes, and that's the fatality we see. When Sub-Zero's talking to the crew.
That's not a fatality.
And he's like, Liu Kang, when you killed my brother in the tournament, and then we like get a flashback to the Liu Kang Sub-Zero fight from the first movie in cartoon form.
Which is pretty sick.
And he kills Sub-Zero with a bucket of water, and then he has a moment of self-doubt.
A bucket of the element that brings life.
Sorry, my bad. And then he has a moment where he's like, could I have beaten him without Kitana's help? I don't know.
And Kitana's fucking... like, don't worry about it, stud. You fucking got this.
Yeah.
That's when I decided to write down, yo, all these conversations suck.
But then now they've got Sub-Zero on their side. They don't fully trust him. They've chased the cybers back through the portal. Sonya threw a kiss through that we hear an explosion before the portal closes. And then fucking Stryker whips out his like riot
baton
stick.
Yeah, his fucking civilian beating stick,
and uses that to close the portal because it's got technology in it. What the like? He had that.
The less time
made.
Spent talking about Stryker, the fucking better.
He's so into being a cop that he
God.
Had.
God, yeah, he's he like, what if I? Made. So I, what I want is I want something that combines my nightstick and my taser, but I need it to shoot laser.
We will get into this in a future episode. He is specifically a riot cop. In this show, he's specifically like,
yeah, and he thinks any group of 10 or more people is a fucking riot.
Yeah, he's got I'm not gonna say it.
Say it, tell me, and then cut it out.
He's got BLM supporters' blood on his hands.
Oh fuck.
Yeah, so they got the battle all settled, and they're like, all right, what do we do with this guy? I guess we take him back to the cave and then strike. And then someone is like, he can't know where we live. We don't trust this guy, right?
Sonia says that. Sonia hates this man.
So then, they were like, what are you doing here, right? And he's like, oh, I came to warn you guys. Scorpion is gathering an army to invade Earth Realm, and they tried to recruit me, and I got away, and I came to warn you. And they're all like, yeah, that seems sus. And then Raiden pops up and is like, I brought news from the Elder Gods. And it's exactly what Sub-Zero just told you, right? And that's when Raiden threatens to kill Sonya, I think. And Raiden tells them all to...
chill.
Kick your jets and jam.
Yeah. Okay, Neil, again, I'm very happy you said that. Because while I was watching this episode, I sent you a message that said, Raiden just said the most insane thing I've ever heard. And that sentence was, then kick your jets and jam. What the fuck does that mean?
That was cool, extreme 90s speak.
What does it mean? Kick your jets and jam. What does it mean? Well, I know what it means, but like, you know what I mean.
Getting your jets and fly back to the cave.
I know, but like, what does it mean? You know, like, slang terms have purpose. Also,
sure.
Speaking of, I have mixed feelings about them making Jax call Raiden girlfriend.
Oh yeah, that's what I
mean. that seemed a little bit questionable.
Yeah, that was, yeah,
kind of turning Jax into a bit of a,
what was the context
stereotype
of that?
He's Raiden like, showed up when the fight was over, so he said, good timing, Raiden, the fighting's over, girlfriend. Woof.
That's all kinds of problematic.
It's not it's so not good, man. Fuck
yeah. 95 was a long time ago.
It feels like eons. And then basically, yeah, so they all go back to the crib. And
so, let's talk about the fighter pilot arrangements. There's three jets, and it's Liu Kang and Kitana in one.
Natch.
Jax and Sonya in another.
Natch.
And then Stryker and Sub-Zero in the third, and Stryker makes Sub-Zero put a blindfold on. And I just love the idea that nobody wants to fly with Stryker.
Real cop because... behavior that he doesn't let people know where they're being taken.
Yeah, kind of fucked up. And then he's like being a dick to Liu Kang, like telling Liu Kang how to fly better because Liu Kang like hates flying.
Yeah, dude's
and
fucking
hates
backseat
technology.
Driving from another planet. Dude sucks.
But then when they like go under the ocean in their jets and start flying, like cruising
the logistics
through the underwater
of that are
caves,
a mess. Because, like, Liu Kang shoots up into the air and then it cuts and they're all flying parallel, flat next to each other, just in a completely normal formation, and then go into the water as if he never shot up into the air in the first place. Just weird-ass shit.
But then once they're flying, like, sailing, floating, moving into the cave, fucking Stryker hits, like, a stalactite and knocks it down, and they're all like, good going, dick.
Dipshit.
And he's like... He's like, nah, just a minor miscalculation. I'm in total control. Because he just can't fucking, like, look like a loser, I guess. I don't fucking know, dude.
Man is
just
a loser.
He had to, like, try to save face. And then they rise up into the combat cave. And we learn that Stryker's also afraid of dogs.
Now, as somebody who grew up afraid of dogs, I would like to draw a distinction here. He's not afraid of them. He just hates them.
Sure.
Jack says, with or without his cop uniform, dogs still hate Stryker. So
that's why we love dogs.
That's why we love dogs and hate Stryker. So, man, and then everybody just sort of starts chatting, and Nightwolf is like, yeah, don't worry about Sonya. She's just like that. She's emotional. Yeah. She's down bad right now. Like, and yeah. they're just being very dismissive of the fact that like she's going through some shit, clearly.
Yeah.
And then everybody makes fun of Stryker some more.
That when they all get into like the control room, Sub-Zero like at least asks the question to Nightwolf. He's like, I thought you were like a shaman. Why are you on the computer?
Yeah, that was not good.
But then they also just don't answer the question at all. They all just start talking about how there's all these
Liu
invasions.
Kang says he likes computers, doesn't he?
Maybe. I missed it. Maybe that's not in my cut. But
Meanwhile, every conversation that Sub-Zero has is like the direction to Luke Perry was don't act.
I mean, they're like, hey, you're playing Sub-Zero, right? So just be cool. So then, oh shit, there's nomads attacking the cave, right?
Yeah, oh no, they found it. Makes Sub-Zero look bad.
Mm. And everyone's like, oh, Sub-Zero fucking led him here, right? Here's the fucked up thing. The nomads, the lowest form of life on Outworld, according to Raiden, also have fucking jet fighters, dude.
Yeah, this is just the universe we live in.
Everyone's got jet fighters. There's going to be a lot of fucking jet fighters in this
show.
Yeah,
it's called a cartoon from 1996.
A lot of dog fights.
What?
Oh. Like dog fighting.
Yeah,
not
sorry.
Dog fights.
We talked
like
about
dog
keep
fighting.
Us here.
Yeah, I know. I got to clarify. It's not good. Not a show like full of like, they're not like betting on dog fights. It's not like that one episode of The Wire, but.
It's like you're gradually trying to see how many television shows you can reference in a single episode that I've never seen.
I just want people to know that I've seen other things besides Mortal Kombat Defenders of the Realm.
And I want people to know that I haven't.
Yeah, they're like, oh shit, it's a fucking, they followed us here, it's Sub-Zero's fault, right? So the gang minus Nightwolf, Sub-Zero, and Raiden stay go out to fuck up the nomads, which are the Tarkatans, right? And
they do successfully.
That's a jet fighter battle that they then like, it's like some real Star Fox shit, right? And then they hop out of their jets and start beating up Tarkatans on the ground, you know? And I guess the Tarkatans are in league with Scorpion, and like back in the cave, Raiden is theorizing that they must have followed Cyrax and the Cybers through the portal and snuck in that way. Snuck in with their jets somehow. I also love that their jets are like Tarkatan styled. Like,
yeah, they've
tell,
got unique
you know?
Jets.
Someone out there. You think this, because here's a little spoiler. We're going to see ships in the next episode that are Scorpion jet fighters.
Yeah.
And we're probably going to see a few other versions of flying jet fighters on this series.
At the end of the show, we have to rank them.
Do you think that whoever, was selling the ninja costumes in Zhuzhen, that family
got into arms dealing?
Generationally expanded into, selling, personalized military,
yes.
Attack
yes.
craft to
yes.
all the different realms?
Undeniably, yes. This is fucking, Jola.
Yeah, Jola's behind this. The Black Dragon are going to show up in this, so... Anyway.
Nightwolf transforming is pretty sick.
Yeah.
Dog jumps into his soul.
What the fuck does Raiden do? Oh, yeah, Raiden
fucking
fucks
ain't
off.
Does,
he's
ain't
like,
does shit for no one.
Raiden's like, I gotta go. I gotta prepare a portal for us to throw all the Tarkatans, all
convenient.
The nomads through.
That's him going to Applebee's. Don't fucking lie to me, Raiden.
And he does that, just as...
That's Clancy Brown in real life going to Applebee's because he didn't want to yeah. record any more dialogue.
Clancy Brown was done. He's just going to regular Applebee's.
Dude, if Clancy Brown knew the way to fucking Zhuzhen Applebee's.
Clancy Brown as Raiden in Conquest.
That would have been sick.
That would have been fucking rad.
Look, I love Jeff Meek. In this house, we love
Hell
and respect
yeah, no.
Jeff Meek, but...
Just give Jeff Meek, he gives full attention to a Shao Kahn role, which is so good. And then he just got Clancy Brown just, fucking around as Raiden in the woods. So once Raiden heads off for happy hour, Nightwolf has a vision. So we see that he's still got his spiritual powers, right? And he's someone's at the cave, and then he's like, oh no, it's the new nomad leader, Carbrack.
It sure fucking is.
And now there's a whole gang of fucking Tarkatans invading the cave, right? And it's just up to Sub-Zero and Nightwolf to fight them all off. And so that was kind of sick when Kiva jumps into Nightwolf, and then he gets warrior eyes.
Yeah,
right?
I enjoyed that.
and he's got his bow and he's fucking shit up. And like Carbrack is like, finish them. And then Nightwolf is like, if you're not careful, I'll finish you or something like that. There's some banter. And yeah, they fuck them all up, but then they don't kill any of the Dark Cottons. It looks like they just sort of like tie them up cartoon style.
Yeah. And then fucking he sends them to hell.
Sub-Zero takes out Carbrack, and then Raiden pops back up and he's like, now since these nomads know where you live, I'm gonna have to send them somewhere they'll never be able to get out of.
Yeah,
he does. He fucking sends them to hell. He sends them to like probably like one of those like pocket dimensions.
Yeah, not even the Netherrealm. Sends them to Christian hell.
He sends them to the realm that was made for Kung Lao in that one episode of Conquest.
Yeah, and then
they just have to hang out with fake Jen all day.
And then Sonya is made to apologize for being a traumatized person.
She busts in and she's about to call Sub-Zero a two-faced fridge.
I didn't notice that.
And Nightwolf cuts. He's like, where's that two-faced fridge? And then Nightwolf's like, whoa, hold on. He's cool. He didn't do it. He helped me fuck them all up. And then Raiden finds like a tracker that was put on Sub-Zero. And he's like, look, they fucking bugged him. And that's how they followed him here. God damn it. Getting this technology shit mixed in is just so fucking weird.
It's so stupid. And then the cartoon ends.
Yeah, Sonya apologizes. Yeah, she's like, I'm sorry.
Made to apologize for having gone through a difficult time. Great.
Like, to Sub-Zero's credit, he's not been a dick back, and he's just kind of like, it's cool.
No, I understand. Yeah, but like, I don't know. I think people are giving Sonya a raw deal. She is reasonable. She's having a reasonable reaction here. All things considered. And I'm giving reasonable contextually because she is being directly pretty shitty to him, but you can understand why.
Yeah, I think if he had had more of a role in Annihilation, you know, she would have like understood that he was on their side at this point, right?
Okay, you gotta hit me with this big theory, boys.
All right. Well, at the very end of the episode, they get an alert on the computer.
They get a combat alert.
A new combat alert. And this time it is Scorpion with his invading army. And then Raiden's like, Mortal Kombat continues. Episode over.
Combat time.
All right.
Big theory, big boys.
Theory boys.
Big theory boys.
You're going to have to let me feel this one out because it's been just kind of percolating, all right? But here it's time for our new segment, Big Theory Boys. This is something we have to track. This is something that I was leaning hard on before we got to this point and then started like backing away from once we started watching Annihilation and all that kind of shit, that like this was made as an alternate sequel to the 95 movie. Then they made Annihilation like a year later, right? After the show was like done and out of their minds. I think they borrowed things from it. We'll get into all that stuff. So I was presenting this as like a timeline split, but I'm going to take that back.
Ooh, this is a big departure. Huge.
I'm going to argue that there's potentially some event we didn't see that has caused... I'm going to present this as I was originally intending to and argue that this is actually in continuity, happens after the events of Mortal Kombat Annihilation. Now, clearly there's going to be some retconning here and there, right? The big thing, I suppose, would be that Shao Kahn died in Annihilation, and we are going to see Shao Kahn in this, but I don't think that that's like...
That's not that unusual.
That unusual for Mortal Kombat, right? Like, there's ways back all the time. Something could have happened. I think we've seen enough evidence, though, that this is a continuation of that series so far. For starters, there's Sub-Zero 2, right? Who, they had some kind of a familiarity with already. So we know that there were at least events that happened after the Mortal Kombat 95 movie and before Defenders of the Realm. And we saw some of those events in Annihilation where he's helping out Liu Kang and Kitana in the middle of the earth with the Velospheres.
Journey to the middle of the earth. Velospheres to the middle of the earth.
And we've got, you know, Jax, I know he's got his cybernetic arms back, but that doesn't mean that he, you know, like, I think he just had to overcome his self-confidence and then he can, like, load those bad boys up because he's got to fight robots all the time, right? We saw Cyrax die, but Cyrax could be rebuilt. It's a robot, right? I don't think we've seen anything that outright discredits anything that happened in Annihilation. Not on this episode. And I don't think that we're going to. And I think if we do, we can find a way to explain it. And also the big thing, right? No Johnny Cage. After the 95 movie, Johnny Cage was fine. Johnny Cage is not in this cartoon series. Something happened to Johnny. you know?
R.I.P. to my man Johnny one time.
And we know what happened. He died at the beginning of Mortal Kombat
Something
Annihilation.
Something happened
didn't come
to
back.
Johnny, and we know it because we watched the man die.
Yeah. So my theory is this can stand as an Annihilation sequel.
Okay. I am eager to see how that plays out over the preceding months.
We're going to track it. I'm going to pay attention to it. And I'm going to fucking do backflips in my head to make shit line up properly. But I'm taking that hard line again. You know, I backed off of it a little bit there. And after watching this, you know, what's the premise of this is that now, like, all of the dimensional fabric around Earth is failing, potentially due to a previous invasion attempt. And now everybody's just coming through and trying to fuck the place up. Baraka's dead. There's got a new leader of the Nomads named Baraka Backwards, kind of.
Yeah,
Carbrack.
Close enough to Baraka Backwards.
Like, that lines up, too. It's not Baraka. It's a different guy because Baraka died in Annihilation. I'm just saying, there's a lot of evidence here.
Sure. I'll allow it.
So that's it for the big theory. I know that was a little clunky. I had to kind of like freestyle and walk
nah,
my way
we'll
through
there.
It.
We'll get there. We'll get there.
We're gonna pay attention.
I think that segment is deeply more hilarious the more you struggle to articulate what you're saying.
All right. Well, fuck you for starters.
No, I mean it.
But we're going to keep... We're going to keep tracking that shit, especially once Quan Chi starts showing up, man.
Quan Chi.
We're getting a Quan Chi. It is not a Donnie Moropis doing the voice, sadly, but it is a Quan Chi.
We'll take
anyway,
it.
Anyway, that is it for the first episode.
Yeah, folks, these episodes are going to get quite a bit more brisk.
Of Mortal Kombat Defenders of the Realm. Next episode, Sting of the Scorpion, where Scorpion leads his army of the undead to the tomb where Shang Tsung is buried. Earth's defenders follow.
That sounds fucking wild.
Yeah, I think this one's going to be tight. But for now, I think it's time for us to hop in our dragon jets.
And fly out of here?
I think it's time, Corey, for us to... God damn it.
Say it. Say it.
I forgot it already.
No, say it.
I think Corey, I think it's time for us to kick our jets and jam.
Hell yeah, dude. Fuck yeah. All right, let's do it. So before I do that, this is how I have to unlock my jet. It only unlocks if I say all my plugs out loud.
Yes, yes, yes.
So Twitter, Letterboxd, at Mr. Corey Price. You know him, you love him, it's me. It's me. They Made Another One is the name of my other podcast. I do it with my friends Mitch and Neil. Nope. Well, sometimes. They Made Another One is the name of my other podcast. I do it with my friends Mitch and Liam. And, I think when this comes out, we're having Jade on, friend of the show Jade. So you can check that out. At They Made Another on Twitter, at TMAO on Letterboxd. They Made Another One. They Made Another One is the name of the show on all of the podcast services. Wow, that was clunky. Woo.
Shout out to Jade.
Shout out to Jade.
All right, and you can find me on Twitter and you can find me on Twitter.
We're so fucking bad at this.
You can find me on Twitter at Final Neil. You can find me on Instagram, my retro gaming account at Final Neil Retro. Follow the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at MK Podquest. Check us out on YouTube. I'll get those caught up eventually. I've been really fucking tired lately. Get off my back. Subscribe to the show in your podcast app, rate us 5 stars, and leave us good reviews. If you like what we do, check out the episode description to find links to our Ko-fi. Is it Ko-fi?
We're gonna go
Can
with
you
Ko-fi.
Tell me?
I have no idea.
To support the show on Ko-fi at ko-fi.com/mkpodquest or on our anchor page. We'd appreciate that. And that's it. Let's power up these fucking dragon jets and get the fuck out of here. I'm looking forward to the rest of these episodes.
I am looking at the rest of these episodes.